Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. The time is exactly 4 minutes past ten. It is Tuesday, the 21st of January. You're listening to Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme, discussing the issues of the day with a panel of invited guests. 952-784-1000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. On today's show, we're going to be looking at a variety of subjects, plus if you have something you'd like to discuss, or something is your viewpoint you think should be heard, give me a call, 952-784-1000. On today's show, we're going to be speaking about, is it the end of the affair as Harry touches down in Canada? We'll be looking at the latest news coming out of Spain with regards to Catalan independence and perhaps some inclusive language in the Spanish Constitution. President Trump has been impeached. We'll be looking at the fallout from there as well as other issues. 952-784-1000 is the phone number. Joining the studio, we're a two-hander today. We're joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo. Good morning to you, Andres.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us. And also by Rosalind Scott. Good morning, Rosalind.
Morning, Giles. Morning, everyone.
Good to have you with us. 952-784-1000. The phone number, studio at tre.radio, the email, Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. But first, let's have a look at what's making the front pages in the UK and further afield. A range of stories today. Confirmation that China's new strain of coronavirus can be passed from human to human makes many papers. The Guardian says the news has fueled anxiety about the prospect of a full-fledged outbreak, while the Financial Times quotes the first statement of the Chinese President Xi Jinping on the crisis, calling from all steps to be taken to contain the virus. Hall over now is the Sun's take on the announcement that the BBC's Director General, Tony Hall, is to step down after 7 years in the job. The ITS leader suggests he'll be remembered as the BBC boss who betrayed over 75s by stripping them of their free licences that he promised to fund. The I newspaper is amongst many papers to speculate on possible contenders to succeed Lord Hall, publishing a list of 7 runners and riders. More than half the list is female, as the newspaper ponders, will a woman be next? The Daily Telegraph's editorial paints a bleak picture. The BBC needs to change to survive, it claims, as it suggests the new DG will face a monumental task with the future of the BBC less clear than ever. Meanwhile, in the newspaper's front page Matt cartoon, corporation staff are shown having a whip around for the departing Lord Hall. The accompanying caption reads, a fiver for men and a tenner for women. Royal Peter for hire in China is the Daily Mail's front page headline, as the constitutional headache created by the Duke and Duchess of Sussex continues to fascinate. The paper claims it can exclusively reveal, in a fresh twist to the row, that the son of Princess Anne, Peter Phillips, is using his royal connections to sell milk on Chinese TV. According to the Mail, Mr. Phillips did not respond to questions, including as to whether he was paid, and Buckingham Palace declined to comment. The Sun carries a front page photo of Meghan and baby Archie out for a walk in a Canadian park yesterday as Harry left the UK to join them. A full picture spread follows, showing the Duchess walking two dogs, followed a short distance by two protection officers. Under the headlines, terrorists to be denied early release from prison, the Daily Telegraph leads with details of what it describes as the government's crackdown on terrorism, which will see stricter controls and tougher punishments for the most dangerous offenders. Boris Blitz on terror is the Metro's take, as it sets out how lie detectors could be used to check terrorists have genuinely reformed before they are released from prison. But the Mail's coverage sounds a note of caution on suggestions that the detectors could be used to establish whether released offenders have broken the conditions of their parole. Professor David Cantor of Liverpool University points out, for the benefit of the paper's readers, that polygraph tests aren't 100% foolproof, and the findings from such tests aren't admissible in courts as evidence. The front page of the Times suggests there are grounds for growing optimism over Britain's economic outlook. It reports a new assessment by the International Monetary Fund that the British economy will grow faster than any of the other major European country this year. Any other major European country this year and next if there's an orderly Brexit. The forecast marks a contrast with the IMF's global predictions. Under the headline, downbeat IMF outlook diverts Davos focus from climate goals, the FT reports that the forecasts for global economic growth for this year and next have been cut, casting a shadow over the opening of the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Many papers ponder the enormous political headache being created by the HS2 project. The FT sets out in detail not only the spiralling costs of the line, but also that those funds could provide 200 flagship hospitals or 1.7 million social homes, as much a stated priority for the government as narrowing the north-south divide. The IS newspaper says that Johnson has sat on the fence for long enough. He says that while spiralling costs of HS2 have been common knowledge for months, Mr. Johnson had avoided making a call on its future ahead of the general election, knowing a decision either way would anger thousands. Now the Prime Minister cannot walk the tightrope much longer and must face a major test rather than ducking devices decisions. Chelsea's potty idea is the Daily Mail's scathing review of a new houseplant category to be introduced by the Royal Horticultural Society, its famously glamorous show in London this May. The RHS director Helena Pitt advises cheerily, people are increasingly recognising the benefits of indoor greenery, that the paper smells of rats, not roses. It paints the changes as a bid to appeal to millennials who live in cities and don't have a garden. And finally, the curious hunt for the Devon turnip tosser, as one headline puts it, features across many tabloids and broadsheets. The Telegraph reports that Devon and Cornwall police are looking for a prolific vegetable thrower who's attacked motorists from a bridge over a main road near Torquay, where else, 17 times since November. Swedes, mangelwurzels, and turnips the size of footballs have all been weaponized, according to officers. They say, however, whoever's responsible has to be caught before a tragedy occurs. Meanwhile, away from vegetables, but on the front page of the media webpage of El País in English, excuse me, conditions from Gloria weather front claim 3 victims across Spain. 9 provinces are on red alert today, with areas such as Valencia and the Balearics struggling to cope with heavy snowfall, rain showers, and record waves of more than 8 meters. And who is who in the latest trial covering the 2017 Catalan independence drive? The 4 defendants in this new court case related to the challenge include Josep Luis Trapero, the then head of the Mossos d'Esquadra regional police force. So those are your headlines today. The 21st of January, it is Tuesday. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. But let's go to the story that's dominated all this week. Harry and Meghan. The Brexit has made all the front pages of the UK papers. Piers Morgan, the well-known television host, has been absolutely vitriolic in his condemnation of the couple. 952-784-4000 panel. Who wants to kick off with this one? Is it all over now? Can we sleep peacefully in our beds now, Rosalind?
Well, I think the whole thing is probably like everybody else, that it really is very sad. I remember the interview when they first got engaged and they talked about working for the Queen, for the Crown, around the Commonwealth to do with environmental issues and women's issues and things. And it really sounded so good and a really positive step forward for the younger generation as well. And for Britain and Britain abroad and all of that. So it is very sad, but it's not sudden. It seems that they have been talking about it. Certainly Harry and Meghan have been thinking about it in depth for at least 5 or 6 months since she's had the baby. And it is so complicated. There's no possibility it's going to be in any way the way they would have liked it to be, half in and half out. You're either in or you're out. And I think I really do believe the Queen is very kind and very understanding and doing what she can. I think perhaps his brother and father are less sympathetic to their situation. The thing is, they do have a year to, it's going to be reviewed at the end of a year. So we'll see what happens. But he can't work in Canada or the U.S. He doesn't have a work permit. He's not a resident. He's not a citizen. And I think it's going to be, I don't see how they're going to do it and pay income tax and all these very boring but necessary details to anybody living and working in another country.
Andres, the Spanish monarchy have had a bit of a run-in, haven't they, with working royals before and their connections, and indeed the brother-in-law of one of the Infantas is currently at His Majesty's pleasure, I suppose. Pleasure,
yes. My take on the monarchy to start with, I'm not a great fan of any royal family or any monarchy. However, it is what it is. They're there and they do a job which they get paid for quite handsomely by the taxpayer. Some of the royals can do a very good job when it comes to promoting the businesses of a country, diplomacy, sports, and everything else. But this is the deal. When you marry into a royal family, you have to understand that the deal is, okay, financially you're secured, but you're marrying into the job, and that's what you have to do. I think Meghan knew that she was getting into the British royal family, and she would have to oblige by the rules of the monarchy. That suddenly to say, I don't like it, in my view, is you should have thought that before you married into the firm. That's my take on it. In Spain, doing what they are seem that they're going to be doing in the future has brought trouble for the daughter of the king. As you know, the husband got involved in business, and he was financially getting money into his own private accounts and everything else. He got caught and he's now in jail. So they are treading on a very thin ice there, doing what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, just to agree with what's been said, because absolutely, Meghan was not a child. She's not a young bride. And, you know, she's a very sophisticated international woman, and warned by her friends how the British media are, and really it's a difficult job, and either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. But she knew what she was getting into. So I can understand if there's a lack of sympathy for the two of them. I know he's so against the press because of what happened to his mother, and that's understandable. It is understandable. He had a very traumatic childhood. And he's very unsympathetic towards the press. But I wonder if they gave it enough of a go. I mean, 2 years for something they knew, you know, that wasn't dumped on them. They made a decision.
They kind of knew it was coming, you're thinking. They knew what to expect.
They went into it with their eyes open. And to give it just 2 years doesn't seem very mature, very grown up.
The press thing goes with the job. You know, they know if you are a royal, you're going to have the press at your doorstep. Something I didn't know, apparently there was a rota for press coverage, which apparently contained that press coverage around the world. They're not going to have that. They're going to have their own invited press to report on them. Whether that's a good thing to do, I don't know. Time will tell. I don't think they have thought this through, and the implications of who pays for what can we charge for what we do, whether we have a brand that we can market openly, and you're getting into very difficult situations. I mean, look at Roger Federer. You know, he's been criticised because one of his sponsors is Credit Suisse. Now, is that going to happen to the Royals, that they maybe sponsor something that then is criticised because this, that and the other, for environmental things, or maybe connections to this and the other? So it's a very, very difficult situation they find themselves in. And the fact, I say again, that they should have known better, because when you marry into that situation, you know that your job changes, your behaviour has to be impeccable, you have to work for the charities, you have to, you know, and all of those things go in return for a very comfortable life in palace.
No, to do with the press. Now, she was living, working in Toronto because Suits, although it's an American company, American filming, what was mainly done in Toronto, which is very reserved. Toronto is very reserved, and Canadians are quite reserved. So the Canadian press. So she always dealt through a PR company, and she controlled the press and what they said and who interviewed her and everything else. But she knew it was going to be different. Harry would have warned her in depth.
I mean, if you look at what he said on the Sunday, which is his last, there's a charity event. If you haven't heard it, you know, he said it was. It brings me great sadness. That it's come to this. The decision that I have made for my wife and I to step back is not one I made lightly. It with so many months of talks after so many challenges. I know I haven't always got it right, but as far as this goes, this is certainly no other option. What I want to make clear is we're not walking away, and we certainly aren't walking away from you. Our hope was to continue serving the Queen, the Commonwealth and my military associations, but without public funding, unfortunately, that wasn't possible. I've accepted this knowing that it doesn't change who I am or how committed I am. And he said that he hoped that it would understand. I'd hope that helps you understand what it had come to, that I would step my family back from all I have ever known and to take a step forward into what I hope can be a more peaceful life. I was born into this life, and it's a great honour to serve my country and the Queen. Going to the emails and the WhatsApps. Excuse me. Good morning, Richard. The Queen is kind of understanding. What evidence do you have to substantiate that? Good Morgan. Turning up at an event and waving is a difficult job. I will repeat, people do not have the right not to be offended. Alan comes in with Harry is being supported by Prince Charles, so there's no need to work. I think he's only being supported by Charles for the first year. That's right. I'm getting the note. And Glynis comes in with this one. What has the British press done to upset her? I must have missed it. Well, I mean, if you look at the coverage, and we'll look at the coverage of what's happening with Harry and Meghan after this break.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Giles Brown with Ross and Scott Gibb and Andres Gallardo. We're talking all things royal, all things Meghan and Harry. We were looking, I mean, Glynis came in on the WhatsApp, oh, by the way, +34 645 99 67 95 for the WhatsApp, 952 78 4000, phone me, studio at tre.radio is the email, Facebook Talk Radio official if you wish to leave a post in support or otherwise about Harry and Meghan's move to Vancouver Island. Glynis said, I must have missed it, why were the press, what had the British press done to upset her? There's been an awful lot, Piers Morgan notwithstanding, of coverage about this, and it sparked lively debate as well on Question Time about whether people were attacking Meghan because of her mixed race background, and a lot of people especially were saying, you know, she's a black woman in Britain, it shows that Britain is an institutionally racist society, and you guys as white privileged males have no right to speak about that. Roz?
Well, I have to admit, I don't read the British gutter press. And so most of my information is secondhand from reporters being interviewed by others. Now, the only ones that I saw that really thought, yes, there has been a lot of discrimination about her color were, in fact, colored people. Journalists who are of mixed race or black saying, yes, it was there, underneath it was. But the thing is, generally speaking, I would say most people, most of the people I've spoken to or come across or seen interviewed thought she wasn't. But, I mean, even Kate, just one thing, even Kate was called Weighty Katie.
Yeah.
Perfect, beautiful Kate who never steps wrong, did come under the press.
I'll come on to that point as well, where the media changed the treatment of her in a minute. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John. John from Los Colleges.
Morning, John.
Just to say, it's absolute nonsense. They weren't criticised, nothing to do with racism whatsoever. Nobody even thought of her as being black. What slaughtered them both was the pure hypocrisy of what they were doing. That's when the tide turned, and which Piers Morgan came on, whether he was slighted by her or not. That's what he started going on, and that's what the British public didn't like, the vast majority, with the total hypocrisy of it all, with the, you know, talking down to us and then doing exact opposite themselves. And that's what changed the whole format. And then it's built up since then, but it's nothing to do whatsoever with racism. You've had all these people coming out, like Bonnie, whatever her name is, and creating a sort of a situation, which was never, ever the case. It was purely the sheer hypocrisy of it all, a bit like Davos, but I'll leave you with that.
Thank you very much for that call in.
John's talking about the private jets, right? Talking about the environment and everything, and then taking two private jets.
I would imagine.
Is that what John's, talking about?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I agree with John. I don't think it's anything to do with race. I think the press have found a good angle to have some royals criticised for whatever they do. I mean, come on, they have to take when they travel, they go in jets. I mean, look at the Spanish Prime Minister. He's running out of points on his private jet. He goes everywhere by plane.
Indeed,
of course, everyone is using planes because it's the mode of transport, and of course there has to be an element of sending a message to protect the environment and so on. But I mean, this is a subject that is very difficult, because how do you let the royals travel?
But also, no, I'm sorry. No, I have no sympathy. They had no excuse to take private jets.
Right.
It's not the Queen. No. In this day and age, with all the issues around environment, and they're supposed to be sort of working in this area, I'm sorry, no, you don't take a private jet.
The other thing is, though, and you made the point before we went to the break, Rosin, is the fact that the way that the press, it seems to be that a lot of the press are engineering this. They want a conflict story.
Of course they do.
They want to have royal infighting, and perhaps a lot of the thing is the fact that Harry and Meghan, perhaps being thin-skinned, said, right, that's it. And you remember, you know, the one of the backgrounds that they've said is the fact that obviously people seem to forget that, well, maybe don't realise the effect that losing his mother, some would say, you know, due to the paparazzi in Paris, has affected him. And he wants none of that in his family. He, you know, those of who sit there, you know, I was going to say from Fleet Street, that no longer exists, and write, you know, keyboard warriors and write these diatribes about how they are spent the money and they have a duty to the British people, perhaps never had to walk behind a gun carriage, you know, in front of millions on live TV at their mother's funeral. We have been asking for a stripped-down monarchy for years, and saying, what do? The furore that has greeted Prince Andrew and his business links for years. And now that we have it, suddenly, because somebody like Harry and Meghan, they will no longer be tabloid fodder. They no longer have this thing against... They can engineer this situation. And Harry and William released a press statement this time last week saying there had been no war between them. The editors are thinking, well, we can't shift our papers. And as Rosalind said, when Kate first came on the scene, she was derided for being the daughter of an air stewardess and upper middle class and scheming, and she went to St. Andrews just to meet. So, the press are always like that. I'm going to go live to the lines before you come back, Rosalind. I know you're itching to get back on that one, but we're going to go live to the lines. 952-78-4000. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning. Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning, everybody. I would go with what most people say about the hypocrisy, and I can understand why people are paid off with their lifestyle and preach it, the preaching thing. However, if you look back to before he met Harry met Sally, if you look back to those days, Harry, on more than one occasion in the press, in our gutter press, said that he was always happier when he was abroad. In the words of a song that I heard on Saturday by a group called... forgotten the name of the group. Anyway, two of the lines were, I left my country for a land where I could breathe. There's something about the climate in Britain that is stifling, that what's the word when you can't breathe? Anyway.
Suffocating, perhaps?
Yes, claustrophobic.
Okay.
And whatever we say, our press is a gutter press, and... regardless of what you think about Harry and Meghan, looking at this now as a separate entity, that the Canadians, one of the comments from a lot of the consensus from Canada was saying that you come over here, we don't have a gutter press like you, although I think our press will probably follow them out there and things could be damn sight worse. But we have to have I know you can't rein in the press because it's said to be not democratic, but something has gone badly wrong with our press, our Daily Mail types over the last few years, and even coming along in the Times was quite nasty about Meghan before she'd even really got going, when she'd only just met Harry and she was doing some public engagements with him. So, I do think that a lot of the European royal families are setting an example by cutting themselves down. So I think that the royal family need to be getting rid of the hangers-on, and this may be the beginning of a very much needed process. So Sharon, thank you.
Thanks for the call in. They're going live to the lines again. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gosdeblank.
Morning, Kate.
Supporting Sharon completely, as usual. Bread and circuses is what comes to mind. The British press, or the red tops, is the absolute pits. And they could use much stronger language.
Right, but thank you for not, because we're not even at 12 o'clock, yes?
Yeah, and that, you know, and universally throughout the world is regarded as the pits. They've treated anyone with an excuse for mild melodrama, and the royal couple, no, they're not royal now, are they?
Sussexes, I think.
Sussex seem to have developed thin skin, but the point about Canada being a very much saner place as far as the press is concerned is a rather good one. What they will do is a different kind of ball game. But this is a massive destruction. We're 10 days away from leaving the EU.
Yeah.
And we've had the bing dong bong issue, which
so beautifully put there, Kate. But thank
I'm
you.
I'm just saying that
the Big Ben, yes.
The British press has been irresponsible in the extreme, in wasting very many column inches on this issue of Sussexes, when there is really very important stuff, like, you know, what the Chancellor has said about leaving European standards, etc.
Mm. Good point, well made. So it's a smokescreen, Kate, then, and, you know, we're all getting carried away with Big Ben bongs and what Harry and Meghan are up to, but in reality it makes very, very little difference to our daily lives.
Whereas there is something really rather important happening, and there could be some way of making the government at least keep its promises on the subject.
Thank you very much for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Lots of points there, panel. Somebody asked me the other day, last weekend, what I thought about Harry and Meghan, and I said, to be honest with you, it just has absolutely no impact in my life, and I'm agreeing with Kate. Is it a smokescreen? Is it a smokescreen whilst more important issues should be being dealt with? Once again, Andreas.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to agree with Kate, but there is a point here. Who advises these people? Because someone who should have told them what it looks like from the outside, because we're looking out there and we see a fairy tale wedding, a girl coming from outer state from the world of
entertainment,
and coming into the royal family, and 5 minutes later she says, "Oh, I don't like these."
Well, it's 2 years,
you know.
I mean.
Well,
but if it's
yeah, okay, 2 years. But he says, I don't like these opening hospitals and visiting old people's homes and everything else. I want to go back to my glamorous style lifestyle in Canada. And I guess in no time they'll be flying in some private jet to Los Angeles and everything else. So this is the image that they're giving to the public. We are astonished to think, why are they doing this now? I mean, this is ridiculous. But again, this, I think, they could be, if you look underneath, maybe there's some timing on directing the attention towards something that is that is not
leaked. I think it was leaked.
Yes, Rose.
My understanding is it was leaked because my understanding from listening to one interview of a royal writer, a mature adult, who said actually Harry went to the Queen and she said, well, I have total sympathy with your situation, but you'll have to discuss it with your father and your brother. So he went to them and they said, put it all on paper. And Harry said, it'll get leaked. And so he put it on paper and it got leaked.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason it came out now. But I don't know. This is actually an honest question. Is the British press, gutter press, any worse than the French? Because, Harry's mother... Well, wasn't that the French press that...
No, it was international. Yeah, exactly.
Well...
952-78-4000. Let me go to some of the social media comments that we're getting in. Hypocrisy? Hardly. The royal family have had a long history of being the biggest culprits of benefit frauds in the country. Get Bozo to keep his promises. That's priceless. I'm not defending the royals or politicians, but the use of commercial airliners would be a security nightmare, not just for the VIPs, but for others on the plane. This one in from Ken. I don't think she's led such a sheltered life. They wanted their cake with jam, it backfired, and the Queen sorted it out properly. So there you go. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, Facebook page, Talk Radio Proficial, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. I'm amazed that no one mentions. Sorry, just I'll come back to you in a minute. I'm amazed that no one mentions Prince Andrew in all of this. She's a well-known feminist activist, has been for years. Surely after that bombshell interview, this must have been the last straw. If I was her, I'd run a mile. Thanks for that. That's in from Gino. And just had another one in here that said, this is from Margaret. Does anybody care a stuff about Harry and Meghan? Enough. Good riddance. Let's have some news. Thank you for that. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Rosalind.
Well, just to remind everyone, like the King of Sweden, as was mentioned, he just wanders around the street. I think he takes a bicycle to his office in the morning. He doesn't worry about security, obviously. The other thing is that the whole royals package was built after the war, apparently, and deliberately to promote Britain and it does. I think people really love the Queen and all the pomp and ceremony and all of that. I'm not sure that has to change, but to bring it down a bit in numbers, which is already happening, has already happened.
Mm. They do a job. I mean, royal families, they have a job to fulfil, and some of them, I mean, the King of Spain in the 1980s...
We're talking about Juan Carlos.
Juan Carlos, the father of the current king. He did a fantastic job of promoting Spain and businesses abroad, and he would take... In his private plane, he would take business people promoting investment and everything else. So they do have a job to do. Whether that could be done by the president of a republic, which they do in France, for instance, would have the same effect. I don't know. They do have a job to do. And as I said before, in exchange for that job, they get a very sheltered life. Mm. But they lose all the privacy. The press follow them. Anything you do, you're going to be criticised, whether it's good or bad. And then you've got the British royal family. They go from stumbling from one case to another, Prince Andrew, as your listener has said, to now this Harry and Meghan. So they're stumbling into one problem to another, which is feeding a press that loves that sort of story. And you get people like Piers Morgan who go on and on and on and on and one drop the subject. So, of course, the press feed from all that.
If you remember, sorry, Rosalind, I'll come to you in a minute. If you remember, when Felipe, who wasn't king at that point, first met Letizia, who is now the Queen, and she was a divorcee. She had worked. She was had worked for CNN, I believe it was,
and TV One,
and TV One, TV, yeah. and the whole thing. You know, Spain, conservative country that it is. For this was going to be a huge thing. A young man again making his own decisions with the woman that he loved, and the way that she took on the role and grew into, and even took elocution lessons to change her English accent to a British accent rather than the CNN American accent that some Spanish seem to get because they follow, well, whatever. And the way that she has, if you like, embraced that. That was from a successful independent TV reporter.
But you could compare that to Kate, who has fulfilled the role quite well. I mean, Leticia.
Yeah, but Kate was never an independent business person in type, as like a high profile business reporter, for example, of course, or an actress like Markle.
But Leticia has embraced the job in hand. She knows her position. She knows what she's got to do, and she's doing that quite well. In all honesty, there's no scandals there. They are quite tight on spending. They do appear in the right place at the right time. She's also a pretty girl who likes fashion and gets reported across the world as one of the best dressed women and everything else. So they portray an image of stability. Don't forget, in Spain it's a little bit different, because in Spain there is a large train of thought or against the monarchy in pro republic. So the royal family have to be very, very carefully. Where in Britain, you don't have that criticism of the royal family. Most people love the royal family. They assume that that's what they're going to always have. Where in Spain, there's always the threat of the republic appearing from somewhere.
But they clearly don't get the best advice. I mean, Andrew giving that ridiculous interview.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so... He brought that on himself.
Of course. And then you look... But I think it's interesting as well, today on The Mail, which has been having a crack at very various people, and they bring up Peter Phillips, who is Prince Andrew's son, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, Princess Anne's, the Princess Royal's son. And they're saying, oh, look, he's selling milk to China. I mean, whoever... But you know, he should be allowed to do that. And I'm just waiting for the fallout to come when they do sign that first deal. What sort of deal it's going to be? If it is with a Netflix, if it is with an international company,
Disneyland. Yeah.
You're thinking it's going to be Disneyland.
Well, no, Disney.
Yeah.
Harry was negotiating and saying his wife was very good at voiceovers. This was all filmed, apparently.
Oh, yeah, the drop-dot team.
But yes, they're just going to be waiting to pounce on them. If they think they're going to have their privacy, I don't think it's going to happen.
We'll be back with more Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo and Roslyn Scott Gibb. Going to the WhatsApps. The real issue is, why are we still bankrolling the Queen, who has a net worth of £2 billion? I'm not anti-royalist. I'm pretty purely against the state subsidising them. And I'm just waiting for somebody to say, the royal family bringing tourism to the UK. Dawn, all royal changes through history have occurred slowly. I agree, this is an attempt at a much-needed royal cull. As for Piers, I think he's chosen this as his latest crusade, as he was snubbed by her at some function or other. I think Piers Morgan interviewed her and then thought that, you know, she liked him and didn't get back to it.
I thought it was that he asked to interview her and then she turned him down for some reason.
Yeah,
and ever since then, we've not heard the last of it, as it were. 952-784-4000.
You cannot blame anyone for not wanting to be interviewed by Piers Morgan. The guy's so annoying that, you know, I wouldn't like to be interviewed by him. You know, it's not that the you're afraid of it. It's that you don't get a word edgeways, you know, when you interviews anyone. So I'm not surprised that she declined that.
952-784-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Do we need a stripped down monarchy? Could this be a good thing? You know, with a bit, I mean, we've had Marx doing I mean, you talk about the you know, the society. You've got Prince and Princess Michael of Kent, for example. You've got Prince Edward, who's gone very quiet, the Duchess of Wessex, Ross.
Yeah, so Princess Michael of Kent, she was...
Princess Pushy, as they
used to call her. That's right. But she hasn't been in the news for many years, right?
Exactly. So you wonder where...
She spends a lot of time in Spain, apparently. South Coast somewhere.
South Coast somewhere. Somewhere, probably out
but
somewhere.
But she had a very bad reputation for being money-grabbing.
Exactly, they were. She was highlighted by the Daily Mail among several of the red tops as being known as Princess Pushy. So, so whether that's a title that Meghan Markle will be taking over is something to debate. 952-78-4000. But as we said, I mean, when they do finally get that deal, I mean, you wonder, will there be... I think, some of the papers were saying that they had taken out, they'd already taken out trademarks on 127 products. But again, the Duchy of Cornwall has been doing this for decades. Prince Charles's charity, or Prince Charles's estate, has been producing, I think it's...
Duchy of Cornwall. Yeah, good stuff, actually.
You use it yourself, do you? So, yeah, I mean, that's I think that's what we're dealing with. 952-78-4000. Later on today, on TRE, just to let you know what's coming up. Following me will be Europe Today with Stephen Ritson. Lifestyle Show with Selena McKenzie. She'll be replaying an interview she did a while back with Patrick Jepson, private secretary to Princess Diana. He's got a new book called The Meghan Factor, looking beyond the media hype, arguing all is not what it seems in a world of princes, courtiers and palace spin doctors. Ruby Warrington will be asking us how different our lives would be if we stopped drinking alcohol altogether. And at 2:25, Dr. Apple Jacob will be taking us through some medical and ethical dilemmas, including who decides that you're dead. Spain Today is on at 3, and then Dave Hodgson at The Daily. He's talking to Alexander Boxer about finding answers in the stars and astrology. Antonio Flores from Lawbird will be joining us as well for any legal question. A repeat of this show, and then it's half an hour of news from the BBC Newsroom, followed by World Business Report until 8:30. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. We've got a caller on the line again. Go live to the lines. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hi. It's John from Lockbeach again. Hello?
Yes, hello, John. Sorry.
Oh, hi. Yeah, just one thing we've all forgotten, which to me was possibly the worst aspect of Meghan and Harry, was the humility of him almost begging Bob Iger for a job for his wife when he was supposed to, and being captain of the Royal Marines, saying he turned that down and gone to the Disney thing. That was a bad move, because he had the full backing of virtually all the military. But then to drop that memoriam for the Marines who were killed, to go to a Disney, they meant to see him almost prostrating himself to get a job, a talkover job, was really the end of it for a lot of people. That's, I'll leave you with that.
Well, you think, yeah, I mean, you think that the fact that he was caught saying that thing, but I mean, you can argue that he's trying to fix that business for the future.
Yeah, but he can do that a bit later. To actually turn down, he's a captain of it. To turn down going to that memoriam for the Royal Marines who were killed, to go there and to see him almost, even then you don't do that. You don't do that. You know, you can do have a private chat in a private office or to meet somebody, but at a big party there, I think most people were taken aback at that. Quite offended. I think he lost part of the military there, which is very, very sad, because he's been a hero and a sort of a guy who has really had tremendous merit for what he's done.
I mean, presumably, we were wondering, I mean, will he still be able to keep sort of doing the Invictus Games, etc.?
Well, he can still do that, and he'll still get great credit for it. It'll probably go off, but to see him, but I mean, everybody in the UK was really peed off watching him, basically, whether he's put up to or not. And even Meghan said, "We're here for the pitch."
Right.
I mean, she may have said that as a joke, but to me, that was the height of A, bad manners and stupidity to actually do that.
Right.
It shows a lack. You just don't do that.
Yeah. So, again, a lack of understanding it and PR. John, yeah. Thanks for the call there, 95278-4000. Andres?
Yeah, John has got a great point there. That's why I question who advises these people. Because the advisors should be organising their schedule and say, look, you're due to go to this army thing or naval thing. You don't go to these, you go to that. It must be some people organising their agenda and knowing. It's obviously they are jumping the correctness of the institution to do what they want. And that backfired on them terribly, as John said. I mean, now it's a big mistake.
I mean, apparently Harry has always been quite rebellious and wanting to do his own thing. So that probably was one of those cases where he just said, no, I'm not doing that, I'm doing this with my wife.
952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34645996795. It's going to be very interesting, isn't it? Because you know, today he's landed in Canada. He's made clear, and it's an historic deal. It's an unprecedented break from his duties. It's Canada. It's a very, very long way away from Windsor. And he made it clear how painful the separation was being and how it was going to go. This has actually gone much further than he originally wanted. He wanted to continue. But the idea of a life away from the UK is now a reality. The Duchess has seemed at ease in the Canadian wilderness, pictured, as I said before earlier in the day, strolling with baby Archie and her two dogs in the woods, smiling and apparently relaxed, which is obviously a good photo op, presumably. The Duke's arrival in Canada came, however, with all the trappings of royal life. An army of close protection officers and the perk of swooping off a commercial flight ahead of every other paying passenger. But such things may be a thing of the past, because they've got to repay 2.4 million of taxpayers' money spent on renovating the Frogmore Cottage home, which they'll keep as a base in the UK. But it's not yet known who will foot the bill for the couple's security, but Justice Secretary Robert Buckland told Sky News there must be a clear line of delineation. He said, I think there's an issue about how public money is spent. Quite clearly, there have already been arrangements made how the family are going to live and how they're going to be able to get private income, but there has to be a line of delineation. I think we all want a family like that to be safe, but at the same time, I think what really needs to happen is they need to understand how their lifestyle is to adapt and what their need might be. So it seems that the Duke has landed, but the future for them is still very much up in the air. Ros?
Well, exactly. Nice to know he took a commercial flight. That's about time. That's good news. Yes, when Trudeau was asked about it, he said, oh, we're delighted to have them with us. And they said, well, what about the security? Are the Canadians going to pay the bill? And he said, we'll discuss that. I don't think the Canadians are going to. It's a big responsibility to take on to provide security for them, and I don't think they're going to do that. But who were the security officers with Harry on the plane and then walking with them? Do you think they're provided by Charles for a year?
That would be the situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd still be. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining until he sets foot in Canada or whatever. And they're saying right now. Now your self-imposed exile has begun. You can start. You can start seeking.
Look, it might be June. It might be officially June.
Right. Okay.
That could be it. Right. So then we'll see what happens.
Let's be clear. They'll have security. They'll manage to find a way of having security. It's not a family, they're short of cash, are they? You know, so they'll find a way of finding security, whether it's through the Canadian police forces or through some private security firm or whatever. I don't think that's the issue. The biggest problem that they're going to find is that when start the commercial activity, what is that going to be?
I mean, if Peter Phillips selling milk in China makes the front page of a tabloid newspaper today, a full page, you know, what on earth is good? Not only that, but what's the reaction going to be like when Meghan and Harry...
They're just waiting for them to put a step wrong. Anything they pick up is going to be heavily criticised. sadly, they've done it in such a way to make them quite unpopular. If they could have handled it a little more subtly, a little kinder.
Right.
Yeah, don't forget, they've done it to themselves, you know. I mean, they should have calculated the a decision like that, the damage that they would do. And again, I question their advisors on that. And the second thing that is what damage have they done to the overall royal family, because they go from one scandal from Andrew, then these, they keeps getting knocked down the monarchy, and people have got, you know, and they don't have patience, to keep accepting these sort of situations.
Something come back on here. Hope you enjoy your pap walks, Harry. Hope you enjoy your privacy being invaded. Hope you enjoy the camera clicks. This is the life you allowed your wife to choose from you. She will call the paps, and you will be splashed all over the tabloids. These are the pictures of the grinning Meghan. I mean, she's looking straight at the camera, so it looks like it could be. It looks like a setup.
It's definitely a setup. That picture, yeah. You know, it gives the idea of normality. Walking the dogs with a little son, you know, which is I'm just a normal mother who's taking the kid for a walk. She's got half smile, but you see the two guys behind are security people, you know. So he wants to give an idea of normality, but there's nothing normal about her life.
952-78-4000, the phone number. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. We were led to believe that they disliked the media, but I could have sworn Meghan had more privacy as a royal. How many paparazzi shots have we seen of her already this week? And also this one. All this talk about poor Harry. What about William? He also lost his mother, and now his brother, and has never disappointed or disrespected the... he also lost his mum... And now his brother. He's never disappointed or disrespected the Queen and continues to represent. Harry has just ruined his life and is far too gone even to realise it. Piers Morgan came in Piers Morgan, I don't often agree with Piers, but this time he's spot on. Spare me your patriotic crocodile tears, Harry. You didn't have to quit. You chose the Queen, the monarchy. You chose to ditch the Queen, the monarchy, your military comrades, and your country to become a royal Kardashian and to keep Meghan happy. That was on yesterday's Mail. Just before we go to the break, it's a popularity contest. Remember, that is one of the emails in. And until, this is security, until at least April, when Megxit takes effect, the Sussex protection is provided by the Metropolitan Police. After that, it's a matter to be resolved. They haven't left, quote unquote, the royal family yet. Those are some of the quotes coming in. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficient. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Not one single picture during the 7-week holiday, and then suddenly paparazzi pictures every day for a week when Kate or William have some appointment. Get all the covers you want. You will never get the respect or happiness you so thrive for. That's another one. Right then, we're going to leave this subject and come on to others in the second hour of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown. International and national news up next.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Me, Giles Brown, live from the office, the studios of TRE Talk Radio, for your voice in Spain. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficial. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. if you want to get involved, just go close to some of the business. Thank you very much for that. 952-78-4000. Joining the studios by Andres Gallardo and Rosalind Scott Gibb. We have talked about, I think we have brought that one to an end in terms of everything to do with Megxit. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that in the next couple of weeks, stroke months. Rosalind, you wanted to make some points on what's happening across the pond, though.
Oh, to do with the impeachment.
The impeachment.
It's quite critical what's going on at the moment because starting today, for I think it's 24 hours only, they're going to be discussing who... They're going to vote, and it has to be... So the just a minute. The Democrats need four more from the
Let me just I'll give you a quick round because I mean, okay. The impeachment trial begins today in the U.S. Senate. And this is what this is what it means and what's going to happen. In a sentence, Donald Trump is going on trial. And if found guilty, he could be removed from office. As in a paragraph, the U.S. senators will be reduced to, will listen to evidence and decide whether the president has committed a high crime or a misdemeanor. He's been accused of inviting a foreign government to interfere in his re-election campaign by asking Ukraine's president, President Zelensky, to investigate his Democratic rival, Joe Biden. In order to reach this stage, Trump was impeached, which means Congress voted on whether they believe there was a case against him. It's only the third time in U.S. history a president has gone on trial, with Andrew Johnson in 1869 and, of course, Bill Clinton in 1999, the first two. For Trump to be found guilty, two-thirds of the Republican majority Senate would have to agree he has harmed the election prospects of a political rival and place his own personal and political interests above the national interests of the U.S., something that is very unlikely. Several witnesses for the prosecution could be called, and the process is expected to take several weeks. If he's found guilty, he could be stripped of his office. But if the Democrats fail in their attempt to convince Mr. Trump, it could backfire for them. Today, the Senate is expected to vote to approve a document setting out how the trial will be organized over the coming weeks. The Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, has said he is willing to allow each side 24 hours of hearings and dispositions in which to set out their case. But over two days, meaning that each day was going to be a very, very long one, for senators.
Okay, well, just to add the bits to that. Now, it's been pointed out by the Nancy Pelosi that he has been impeached. This will not be removed. This will go down in history. But the next two days, so Trump has hired all these top legal people like Alan Dershowitz, who is a professor of law and has been very heavily involved in television law, who now says abuse of power is not impeachment. Those are his words. Whereas he's quoted, it's filmed of him saying in the 80s, abuse of power is a reason for impeachment. So this is where, one of the crucial issues that they are going to try to enforce. Now, the important part, the vote, which you just need 51, the Democrats need 51, is to allow witnesses. Because what happened during the initial hearings, Trump stopped any witnesses and any documents. He just stopped them from being going through. And he just didn't allow them. And so now they have to have a vote. And in order to allow witnesses and the documents needed, they need four Republican votes. There's at least three who are saying probably we would want to hear witnesses. But it's very much on the line. And so so Trump's brought in all these top legal team.
He's brought in the men who helped Jeffrey Epstein walk free in a sweetheart plea deal.
Yes, Ken Starr and Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah.
But of course, Dershowitz goes back further than that, and much further to what's his name, the one that killed his wife?
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. That's right. And it's very, very important what happens here, because it also affects the election. Now, the general feeling is that the Senate will not, they've already made up their minds, and the chairman of the Senate has said, we'll do what Trump wants. They're supposed to be objective, but they've already stated they'll do, you know, we're not going to get rid of Trump. We're not going to impeach him, basically.
Andres.
Well, it's just a question to you, Roslyn. Being cynical as I am with these things, how much the fact that we are in election year has an influence on all this process? Because it seems to me there is a maneuver to get the president into a difficult situation. The electorate won't stand for, and the impeachment won't go through, but he may then proceed to lose the election. Is that something that is a possibility, or am I being too cynical here?
Well, this is what Trump's saying. All of this is political. I haven't done anything wrong. I behave perfectly. But Trump has brought everything, all of these things, on himself. You don't coerce the president of another country to start an investigation
for your own political ends.
And it's been proven that he's done it. But there's a lot more than that. The ambassador was threatened and manipulated, to forced to leave. There's so much that he has done himself, and yet he says, "Oh, it's all the Democrats. They just want to get rid of me." No, and also the bad press that Trump gets. It's actually because they're just reporting everything that he does.
I mean, Senator Kamala Harris said this isn't just an impeachment trial. The very integrity of the United States Senate is on trial. Now, obviously, she's a Democrat. She'll be ramping that up. But, I mean, this is in an election year, it could have massive reproduction.
And the Constitution. The Constitution is on trial.
952-78-4000. We're going live to the lines of Morning Talk. Call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. Rosalind, I wish you'd take off your anti-Trump glasses. I was going to say misandry, but what would be the word? Opposite to misogynist is misandry. Would it be misandric or misandristic? I don't know. But anyway, why didn't Nancy Pelosi send the articles over immediately when the impeachment was made, Roslyn?
Because Lindsey Graham, they already said that they would not outline any rules. They wouldn't give them the rules or consideration of what would happen. So she was holding out to try to encourage them to do so.
Okay, let me give you my opinion then. First of all, you said it was partisan, which it was, because the Democrats held the lower house. So they voted to a man and a woman exactly as we expected. So the writers of the Constitution, the fathers of the Constitution, would be turning their graves, because that's exactly what's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to go to trial. Now, immediately those articles should have been sent over. Under the Constitution, Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, President Trump, is entitled to be judged by his peers. Now, he was denied that. Now, the Democrats, they completely controlled who said what, when was said, and then made their vote. And then he didn't send the articles over because they were being walked into a trap, because Donald Trump wanted a trial, because at a trial he can call the witnesses, and the witnesses will be called, like the Bidens, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, and they will all be called, and they will all be called and made to answer questions that they don't want to answer. Now, some time ago, the Ukraine elected a comedian as their prime minister. Do you remember that?
Well, he's a political science major before he was an actor. He's the president of the country.
Why did the Ukrainians elect that man as a politician? I'll tell you why. Because it was the most corrupt country, or one of the most corrupt, and many said the most corrupt country on the planet, including Zimbabwe. Now, he ran on an anti-corruption ticket, and he got into power. And the moment he got into power, he wanted to investigate where all the money was going, because under the Obama administration, $150 billion at least had been sent to the Ukraine in aid. None of it had reached those people, and it was then being filtered back to the United States to NGOs, where that money was going into the Clinton Foundation and obvious others. And Burisma, the energy company in Ukraine, hired Hunter Biden, among others, Pelosi's children, all of them, and they were being paid $100 to $150 million a year to sit on the boards of these companies doing absolutely nothing. And if they didn't do it, they wouldn't get their aid. That's why that prime minister got in, and that's what he ran on. Now, immediately, if you go back, forget Trump, forget who's in office, forget the Democrats, forget the Republicans. A former vice president sat on live TV and said, if they don't sack that investigator who's looking into my son, within the next 6 hours, I'm going to fly out of here and they won't get their aid. That is quid pro quo. That is a crime that he's not been investigated on.
Where did you see that? Was that Fox News? Fox News?
No, don't be... Please, Rosalind, just listen for
get
one
get your
moment.
Information.
Rosalind, it's in the public domain. It's on live TV. He did it on live TV. And he said, if you don't believe me, call the White House now and Obama will tell you. Look it up. Don't care what channel it's on. It was done on live TV. The world's press was filming it when he said it. Right? So now we've got the corruption there. All that corruption. So under the Constitution, Trump is legally obliged under the fair, well, I think it's called fair game clause or something. He has to investigate. So when he goes into power, he asks them to investigate where this American taxpayer money has gone. Why has it gone to the Ukraine, filtered back through NGOs, ended up in the pockets of American politicians and Ukrainian politicians, and nobody had actually seen the money? He is legally obliged to do that. Now, as you just said, he's been impeached. As Giles said, it has to be treason, high crimes, misdemeanors. And as Dershowitz said, and others have said, it's not a crime. Now, he's entitled to be tried by his peers. Now, yep. What he should do, because there's a judge that will oversee this. I can't remember. You might know, Giles, who's been called in, but I think it's the AG Barr or one of those. Now, his job is to sit there as a judge and listen, and the information that will be gathered. Now, first of all, they will straight away say, there is no crime being committed here. Where is the crime? And if there is no crime, they'll ask for it to be dismissed.
There's been a talk about, was it a crime, or did he commit a sin? Which I thought was an interesting bit of wording.
Well, you can't commit a sin, can you? I mean, we're all sinners, but we're talking law here.
Spend $390 billion sent every year for the last 6 years. Why didn't Trump do it the year before? And the year before, why didn't he check into where the money's gone?
He's been trying to do it, Rosalind, and it's the first opportunity he got because the new president of the Ukraine came in. The old president was part of it. Do you honestly, please, just Google Biden saying what he said on international TV, nothing to do with Fox,
right.
International TV, live TV, the man said it, sat there, pointed to his watch and said, I'm out of here. That is quid pro quo. Now, if they wanted to do Trump for anything, I could impeach any president I wanted to under the Emoluments Act, Section 1. Article 1, Section 8, for taking gifts or titles for their position. But they won't do that because every one of them are guilty. But Donald Trump is 100%, not just because Donald Trump, any president who goes into office, who former politicians have been taking American taxpayers' money, and it's been filtered back through organizations, and the people where the money's being sent have not been receiving it, he is within his rights to do that. And he is within his rights to have a trial. And I honestly believe he's walked him, whoever's advising Trump, because there are some clever people behind him,
yeah.
They walked him into a trap. Because now the Bidens and Pelosi, who's worth several hundred million, who lives in a huge, great ranch in California, who's a lifelong politician, these people are going to have to answer some questions. And they don't want want to answer these questions, and that's why they stalled the articles going over, because they realised there's going to be a trial.
Peter?
That's what they realised.
Thank you for calling. I've got another call on the line, but thank you for that. I did some points made. I've just got a thing saying, we are all sinners. Speak for yourself, Peter, but thank you for the call in there.
I think we all are sinners.
Indeed. Repent, Peter.
Find me one who's not.
Right, okay, fair enough. 952-78-4000. Thank you, caller, for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, this is Gil from Calpe.
Morning, Gil.
Yes, I want to express an opinion which you haven't heard yet about this impeachment initiative.
Okay.
Yeah? I've made a list of all the people who are involved in this impeachment, you know, the main players like Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Elliot Engel, Chuck Schumer, Stephen Cohen, Daniel Goldman, and Gordon Sondland, and so on. I've made a list of about 16 people. Now, what is common to all these people, apart from the fact that they're all Democrats? I mean, I don't know if anyone on the panel can guess.
I'm sorry, yeah, please go, please.
What is common to all these people who are involved in the impeachment?
Please tell me.
Well, they're all Jewish. Every one of them.
Right.
I've made 16 people, you know, there is not one Gentile on this affair. And this, you know, even according to the Israeli newspaper, this is basically a Jewish affair. Now, let me explain how this works. The Jews are 2% of the population of the United States.
Right.
And 6% of all congressmen, that's taking both houses together. Okay. Now, that is a very high participation in American public life. But it cannot be a coincidence statistically, the too many of them. It's not possible.
Yeah. So the point you're trying to make is?
Now, we have to ask, why do so many Jews hate Trump? Because, after all, Trump is the most pro-Israel president that existed since Cyrus the Great, and that's 6th century BC, okay? Now, Trump, part of his family is Jewish, okay? He has many Jewish supporters like Lou Eisenberg, Sheldon Miriam Adelson, and so on, yeah? So we have to understand a little bit of what is the psychology there, okay? Now, the thing is this. Many Jewish Americans, they want to assimilate into mainstream U.S. society.
You can argue many of them already have done.
Yes, but the thing is, not exactly. You know, some people feel that they have to be liberal in order to assimilate, you know, otherwise the society does not accept them. You know, it is a little bit like in 19th century Europe, when a Jew had to convert to Christianity in order to be accepted by the Gentile upper class, you see. So I'll mention a few examples, people like Benjamin Disraeli.
I was going to say, Disraeli, okay. Yeah. Okay. Jill, I've just got to go to a break now, but we're going to be back after this. Thank you for your call.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Roger Scott Gibb and Andres Gallardo, if you want to talk about some of the issues we've been talking about today. Nancy Pelosi is one in from Comptroller. Nancy Pelosi, arguably the prime mover of President Trump, is a Catholic. That's shooting down. Yeah, let's try not to get too many conspiracy theories about where people actually come from in terms of their creed, shall we? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Rosalind.
But Nancy Pelosi, I will just say that she held off against all her committees and colleagues on impeaching Trump, because on starting the proceedings, because she knew it'd be so divisive, and so she can't be blamed. She held it off as long as she could. She was pressured into it.
952-78-4000. I can tell you the president is preparing for Davos and agrees with many of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King, yesterday was Dr. Martin Luther King Day in the States, stood for, including unity and equality, and he's not the one trying to tear the country apart through an impeachment process and a lack of substance that really is very shameful at this point. When you see the articles of impeachment that came out, I don't think it was Dr. King's vision to have Americans dragged through a process where the president is not going to be removed from office, is not being charged with bribery, extortion, high crimes and misdemeanors. I think that anybody articles about And Justice for All will appreciate the fact that the president will have a full throttle defense on the facts, and everybody should have that. That's a thought there. Rosalind?
Well, he just lies, though, doesn't he? And as for Peter, all of Peter's facts are from alternate news and from information from the Black State reviews.
I think Deep State is the one you're looking for. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. We wait to see. Of course, it is Davos at the moment, and President Trump will run into Greta Thunberg as well at the Davos. So
he's giving the first speech.
Looking forward to that one. I think he's going to be live actually any second, or I think it's in 30 minutes or so. I'm not quite sure when he's going to be being. But it's going to be interesting to see how those two get on again. Greta Thunberg, of course, in the news again. She too has arrived at Davos. It was, you know, she was Times Person of the Year last year. Donald Trump was very upset that he wasn't Times Person of the Year last year.
What a relief.
So there you go. 952-78-4000. Going to be back after this.
Hello, Hannah Murray here. As well as the news, the sport, features and competitions, this month I'm doing Dry January.
It's not as bad as you have built it up in your head to be.
I'm going to be putting some of the time I'm gaining into decluttering.
We have stuff and we need to learn how to deal with it.
Daybreak.
Keep listening to hear how I get on Monday to Friday mornings this January from 8 a.m.
It feels so good.
952-78-4000. Is the phone number with me, Giles Brown, on Viewpoint. Let's get away from Davos. I'm just looking at some more bits and pieces coming through. But there was an interesting piece, in the, as you will know, new Spanish government formed in the past couple of weeks, finally, by everybody's favourite Air Miles collector, Pedro Sanchez. But I was driving through Malaga and he was obviously flying out of Malaga when I was coming out from the airport having picked up the goddaughter, and his entourage came through. If you've never been ushered off the road by the Spanish Prime Minister's outriders, then you haven't really lived. It was quite something, I can assure you, as he headed off to the private airport at Malaga Airport. But he's got his government, he's aligned with Podemos. And one of the first things that he's been doing sort of raised a wry smile from you, Andres. Explain what it was and where it says that we are in terms of, Air Miles don't exist anymore. Well, it shows how long it is since I got on a flight, but thank you. Explain what he's been doing to the Constitution. Is it the Constitution?
But one thing that caught my attention is that the government has asked the Royal Academy of Language.
Right.
To look into how the constitution is written and to see whether it's inclusive for females. Okay?
Right.
Which is a stupid thing to do if you ask me. So they have asked for the report, the Royal Academy has come back saying grammatically it's absolutely fine. It is inclusive because in Spanish,
this is the constitution that was written off in
1978.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it is inclusive because in Spanish language there is something that is called the gender plural. So although you refer to something in masculine, includes feminine. So they've told the government this is. But what strikes me is that now language has become political. So if you use the language to include women, so you say hombres y mujeres, or españoles, españolas,
yeah,
you are a lefty or left-wing person. And if you don't use, you use the gender plural, then you are right-wing.
So if you say
utilizing language to send a political message.
So you wouldn't say padres anymore. You would say padre y madre, for example.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Or ciudadanos, ciudadanas. You have to say both. When ciudadanos includes the women as well, so you don't have to lengthen your sentence just by having, but is this ridiculous political correctness that is threatening in every country is happening.
I tell you one thing, it's going to make legal documents, and they're already quite worthy in Spain, and they've got, you know, I mean, if you're doing, ever do some translation or something and hear a Spanish section of the translation, you know, and then it's, they say hello, because it's, you know, señores y señores, etc., etc., etc.
The funny thing is, one, the report that they've sent out, the Language Academy said, look, you ask for a report, we'll tell you what it is fine, but it's not for us to change it. It's your job to do whatever you want with it. But we are, all we can tell you is that grammatically it's absolutely correct.
Do you think, Rosalind, that this is a storm in this is a worthy venture? Somebody said.
I mean, if the Constitution was 150 years old, possibly you might review, the use of gender. But
some might regard 78 as as 100 years old.
Well,
I mean, we've moved
not,
on so
no,
much.
No, because a lot of the advancement for women, as far as equal salaries, was done in the 70s, and there hasn't been all that much done since. So it does seem like, as you say, but the other thing, I mean, I'm way back of how we ever lost the term actress. It just evaporated overnight. Everybody's an actor.
Yeah.
And I don't see the point of that, for example, but or how we now have to have a chairperson instead of a chairman.
Well, I mean, the reason we call them actors is so that there wouldn't be any
discrimination.
So are we going to go back to actors and actresses now?
Yeah, but why did we have to lose it?
Because it was discriminatory.
I think it's petty. I'm much more concerned about having equal salaries.
Exactly.
And
I don't care what you call me, as long as I get paid the same.
Exactly. That's what people want to, you know, that's what the worries people really is, that equality, that you could get promoted, that women get promoted the same as a man would
be on, or the boards of companies, and be
and
asked your opinion, things like that.
The message that you equally shared jobs in the house and all of those things. Mm-hmm. How the grammatically a text is written or not is really, it's a waste of time.
This goes back to this whole woke culture thing, which has been making the press in the UK, because this, as I think it's the son or the grandson of Edward Fox, the actor who is also an actor and a bleeding awful singer, was on Question Time, and he talked about that whole thing about I'm a white privileged male, and then he went on about how he didn't want to date women who were woke, quote unquote, the woke culture, because the way that they were thinking. But also, and are people choosing to be,
what is woke again?
Woke is, you know,
white.
No, woke is, it's, no woke culture is basically, for example, I got a tweet this week because I'm active on social media, and somebody had said, I went to see My Fair Lady, the musical, George Bernard Shaw, Rex Harrison, Audrey Hepburn, and they said it wasn't very woke in terms of it was, you know, men talking down to women, because it's, you know, it's set in Victorian times, but it, you know, they thought they should be. It's the same thing when we had Baby It's Cold Outside, and they changed the lyrics around to make it more up to date, if you like, taking in the modern sensibilities, which could be seen, that was seen as woke. Okay. And so somebody said, you think that's bad? South Pacific is even more, less woke. You've got slavery, you've got colonialism, the whole thing there. So, woke people are people who whinge and whine and moan. So thank you very much for that one. It's going to be one of those days, I can tell. Thank you very much for that one.
That was a very long explanation.
Exactly.
Giles.
Yes, indeed. That's coming in on the social media. Have a Kit Kat, Giles. You deserve it. People are choosing to be offended, or it's those who need to alert to. Injustice in society. So it basically is this whole, you know, Pedro Sanchez looking at the wording of these documents. I mean, is it really, when it comes down to it, important? Do we need to go back and start rewriting song lyrics? Do we need to go back and start refilming films or whatever, because they're not up to a sensibility today? Or if we do that, is it not going to be an endless chain? Because in 40 years' time, when I should probably still be doing this show, will we have to be redoing things today that would look at sexist, outstanding, racist, whatever?
Well, I think it's totally wrong to be changing the lyrics, because any film or theatre or song, it's It's a statement of that time, the time it was written. And that's the charm of it. And we can't start. So why don't we just change history as well then?
Okay.
Go back and change all the history books.
It has context. You know, the songs, the films, it has the context of the time. You can't take that away from it because then you are damaging what you're doing. In terms of the language evolves anyway. You know, I mean, now we use the word Google, yeah, and we've made it a regular verb. We say, I have Googled you, Giles, for instance.
Indeed. Yes.
So, and that was never a verb, but the language evolves. But what is, I think is unacceptable is use the language as a political statement to position yourself to the right or to the left.
952-784-4000. Morning, call your life. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
It's Marlene in Kelky. I hope nobody got hurt last night or during these terrible storms, but anyway, we're all right. Okay?
Good to hear, Marlene. What's your viewpoint, please?
It's been very bad. No, what I'm ringing about is the lady there who said about why didn't he get rid of our titles as women? Why do we have to have the male title? I'm a woman. I want my title. I want to be called actress or mistress, wherever it is. I want my title. And they've taken it away from me and put me with the men's gender. I don't want that. Why did they do that? When the women say they're being prejudiced because we've got the woman's title,
right,
they've done the wrong thing. They've put it all with the men. Why should we do that? I want my title.
I want my title back. Well,
yeah.
This in from Gino. Apparently, Whoopi Goldberg was the prime mover behind the dropping of the female adjective. She's quoted as saying, I'm an actor and can perform any role, male or female. I'm not defined or restricted by my gender, or something to that effect.
Well, we know that, but she was still a woman. Of course she can take a male actor's role. We know that. As men can sometimes do the women's role. There's still men and still women. There's an actress taking on a male role.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong? It's the wonder of the beauty of the language.
Indeed.
They're taking away our language. Anyway, that's how I feel. And I still want my title.
Well, Marlene, okay? I'll see what we can do for that one. But if we can get a title to you and you'll be able to call yourself. I'm not sure I'm able to call you Mistress on air, Marlene, but speak to me later.
Well,
okay?
Mistress, well, actually, Mrs. is short for mistress. I am the mistress of the house.
Indeed, and
that
I shall leave.
That's used to say in the old times.
I shall leave
I am
it at
the
that.
Mistress of the house. As in Spain, they say, yo soy la ama de casa.
Indeed.
Yes, mistress of the house.
And you'll continue to be la ama de casa.
Yeah, Mrs. Yeah, I'm ama de casa, of course.
Thanks very much for the call in there. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996 795. Caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE.
Charles, Peter again.
Yes.
Yes, I wonder if the lady just been on the phone has ever employed a carpenter or a plumber or a lawyer or a doctor or a plasterer or any of those. And does she make an assumption of what gender's going to turn up at her door?
I would think not.
I mean,
if you ask a plumber or a carpenter, so we say 8 times out of 10 it's going to be a male. But lawyers and doctors, obviously, that's you don't have a doctress, do you? You don't have a lawyeress.
Well, exactly, that's my point. And as is it Claudio just said, the language is evolutionary and it changes all the time. Otherwise, I'd be set here saying thee and thou and thouest, wouldn't I?
Struth, yes, splud, etc. Peter, thank you for your call in.
Cheers, bud.
952-78-4000.
No, the point was that we've lost the term actress. It hasn't changed. We've lost it. It's gone. We've all become actors. We were never plumberesses and
doctoresses. Yes, indeed. 952-78-4000. Andres?
Listen, you see, I think all this argument, both in Spanish and in English, it's a pointless exercise because at the end of the day, the
the language is just a vehicle of communication. As long as you can communicate and send the message across to whoever you're speaking to and they can understand you, that's enough. We don't have to make a political statement of the language. It doesn't have to be correct or incorrect, as long as we understand each other. I've got a friend who is an English guy who speaks Spanish badly, but he goes everywhere speaking about Spanish, and everyone understands him and gets away with everything. So that's the important thing. At the end of the day, that you are using communication and not making a political statement every time you open your mouth.
Well, I don't know about making a political statement, but I do certainly believe in correct English. And as since I teach English internationally now, and I think it's terribly important. I get a student who'll type in and say, I say, "Are you there?" And they say, "Yeah." I said, well, in English, we say, "Yes, I am," because it's very important to be taught correct English in order to communicate effectively.
In it. But you see, yes, anyway, let's go. Sorry, Rosalind, I'm making a cheap joke at your expense. Right then, here's Richard on this one. Now, there's no plumberesses or doctoresses, because those professions were male-dominated professions, whereas acting was not. Mm-hmm. In ancient Greece, there were both male and female. Well, okay, I mean, I'll go with that one, although obviously the majority, well, all of Shakespeare's females were played by men. Women couldn't appear on the stage until... 19th century, I think. I'm just raking my brain of drama studies, but I think that's what. There you go. Back after this.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Now then, Giles Brown, live in the studio, TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me, +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Andrés Gallardo and by Rosalind Scott Gibb. I have been shot down in flames, ladies and gentlemen. I have been corrected, I have been put in my place, and I have been, furthermore, my drama student days are now well and officially over, because Richard has come back and said Greek tragedies came before Shakespeare. Yep, fair enough. Here we go. One of the first known actors is believed to have been an ancient Greek called Thespis of Ikara, hence thespian. So there you go. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And that's my Trivial Pursuit question, my pub quiz question.
Was it a man or a woman?
It's all Greeks to me. Anyway, moving swiftly onwards, let's get away from that. Let's look at a story that obviously dominated the beginning of the year, Iran, and Rosalind, your take on the events, because the Ayatollah got involved last week as well.
Absolutely. The first time in like 30 years that he did the prayers. But I just wanted to give my opinion or my take on the assassination, Trump impulsively assassinating Soleimani, because I remember I just happened to be listening at the time, but I didn't call in, that Peter is saying, well, the Iranians have been moving forward and constantly, and they weren't. They were abiding, it's agreed by everybody, that they were abiding by the nuclear agreement. And when Trump pulled out, they still continued to abide by the... But then he imposed tariffs, more and more tariffs. He's been after them. Anything that Obama did, he changed it to the opposite. And so then, of course, the last straw was the assassination of Soleimani. And it came out that there was no direct... reason to do it at that time. And he did a great deal of harm, as we all know, by doing it just then. The internal turmoil of Iran through the young people who were trying to get rid of the Ayatollah, saying it's time for a changing, if he just stayed out of it, it would have prevented a lot of problems that have now escalated and continue to escalate, because the Ayatollah's prayers to millions is now encouraging more hatred against the Americans and international aggression. And also, all of these Eastern countries are far more subtle than Trump, and they'll just wait until the right time to kill off somebody or put off a bomb.
Donald Trump will be speaking shortly at Davos, by the way. I'm going to get live to the lines. Morning, Cordy, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles, and good morning, Ros and Andres, Sean and Frank Arena.
Morning, Sean.
I'd just like to begin by praising so many of your callers and even the panel at times, which is something you wouldn't always expect from me, but as always, wonderful input from Peter on the greatest president that America has ever had, in my opinion, and also from John in Islington, or Los Peliches, earlier on, and much sensible stuff from you, Ros, about the language. And I think that Andres made a very, very important point about the use of language, which brings us on to what we're talking about right now, which is, of course, Iran. And this, of course, as always, is where Ros and I will agree fundamentally on so much about what President Trump does. Now, Ros says that why not just bide your time like other sensible leaders when it comes to taking out Soleimani? Well, Ros, I don't know if you're aware, but Obama had 8 opportunities to take out Soleimani, who is probably a more dangerous terrorist, is responsible for more loss of life even than bin Laden. I think that an analysis would show that. The loss of at least 600 American soldiers alone, let alone the thousands, probably tens of thousands, of Muslims that have died at his hands. Very, very bad man. Excellent move by Trump. It's put a lot of pressure on the Iranian government. It's very instructive. So if you listen to Maya Tusi, for example, who is one of the biggest conservative presenters now on the internet. And the internet, by the way, is where it's at. For those of you who don't know, social media, the YouTube presenters like Maya Tusi, they get more and more viewers all the time rather than the mainstream media. Now, one of the things that you'll see when you look at Tusi's presentations on the latest Iran situation is ordinary young and not so young Iranians not only privately celebrating massively at the death of Soleimani, who, let's not forget, a few weeks earlier was responsible for brutally suppressing demonstrations on the streets of Tehran, and has probably done it many times in the past too. In fact, when the Iranian authorities, and you go and look at this, it's absolutely fascinating, huge American flag put down, the authorities trying to get the people to walk all over the American flag as, of course, a sign of disrespect. What did the people do? Almost unanimously, they walked around the flag. So many of them are backing America, backing Trump, the complete opposite. It would have been highly irresponsible of Trump not to have taken out Soleimani. It wasn't like it was just a random act of aggression. Thought out many, many months before. Should have been happened years ago. Remember, earlier that week, he had taken out an American contractor. He had then made an attack on the embassy in Baghdad. And as Trump rightly said, this is not going to be another Benghazi.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you look into the tragedy of Benghazi in 2012, there is strong evidence that Soleimani was behind that as well.
I've got other callers coming in, Sean, but thank you for your call in there. By the way, US President Donald Trump, speaking at Davos as we're talking now, has said that America is thriving and flourishing and winning again like never before. Go live to the lines and I'll come back to you two into the last 6 minutes of the show. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE.
Kate Costa-Blanco.
Yes, Kate.
Wholehearted support of exactly what Ros said on the Iranian issue. She said it very, very, very well, and total disagreement with the last speaker.
Right.
Last caller. Okay?
Thank you very much indeed. Short, sharp, and to the point. Rosalind.
Well, just to add to what I was saying, that the last three presidents, they'd been managing Soleimani. They knew what he was doing, what he was up to, and he was being managed. As far as Trump couldn't come out with a good reason. He started saying it was imminent. And as the days went on, he was just saying, well, he was a bad man and he had to go. He had no backup at all. He called a press conference and didn't say anything for 75 minutes.
A lot of press conferences, to be honest, Ros, are like that anyway. Let's face it. I mean, we're both members of the press. We've sat through press conferences where very little being said.
And then the week of funeral of Soleimani, I know the people then turned when they brought down a commercial airline and killed their own people, but there were billions of people crying over. He was highly respected. I'm not defending the man. I'm just saying he was being managed, and it was inappropriate to assassinate him at that time.
Andreas, just a quick one before we get to the last.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying he was being managed. I mean, he was the mastermind of a lot of terror happening in the Middle East, starting with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, which is funded by Iran, and they've got missile launches in the Israeli border, and I've been there and I've seen them, so they do exist. You are talking about a brutal regime in their own country where they've got a lot of opposition. Persians generally are really nice people who are being trampled by the regime.
Yeah.
To be honest, the man who masterminded and managed to finance all these terrorist groups to take him out, maybe is the wrong decision. But I mean, I don't feel very sorry for him, to be honest.
I'm not saying I feel sorry for him. I'm saying it was inappropriate.
Going live to the lines. Morning, caller 11 TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Sharon Ali County. Yeah, just very quickly, I do get a bit fed up with the pompous that resume that Sean comes on with every week. But anyway, he's entitled to his opinion, but if he could just express his opinion a bit less restrictive.
I guess, okay, Sharon, now then, your viewpoint,
right,
please.
Yes, my point is that what I object to is, I tend to agree with Ros and Kate. Unfortunately, Trump lost any support I had for him when he started imposing trade sanctions on the UK and the EU, or to any country that disagreed with him. Trade sanctions should be a totally separate issue regarding your allies. And I just think that did that to me. It just took the carpet from under my feet, and I just lost all. So, because I was trying to analyse. I don't think he's a warmonger, but I do think Mike Pompeo is a warmonger. He's strongly under the influence of Pompeo, I suspect. I don't think he is, but I think he's got these blackmailing ways of getting the world to obey him. It's almost dictatorial to me, but thanks.
Thanks
anyway.
Very much. Going live to the lines again. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix. Hi. Ros there, I want to just reply to her. She said that Soleimani was highly respected. Then the next sentence she says, I'm not defending him. How can you utter such a contradiction? You're saying, first of all, he's highly respected, and then you're saying you're not defending him.
Within Iran. He's highly respected within Iran, according to the reports.
So he's highly respected by the mullahs in Iran, not by the ordinary people in Iran.
Well,
who hate the mullahs and hate Soleimani.
Well, you saw the films of the funeral, didn't you?
That's the point. You
there were billions. I'm not contradicting myself at all.
You said he was highly respected. He's highly respected by the mullah neo-fascist regime in Iran. That is anti-Semitic to the core. That's who he's highly respected by. He's not highly respected by the ordinary people in Iran who are coming more and more to hate this fascist theocracy, which was imposed on the people in 1979. Why would you say he's highly respected if you're not providing a cover for him, which is what you're doing? And you do this all the time out of sheer hatred for Trump. By the way, on Trump, I'm opposed to Trump, and I'd like to see him defeated at the next election because of his position on global warming, the number one issue in the world. However, the people who are calling for his deposing, et cetera, these are fascists. Schiff, Pelosi, and so on, these are fascists. They were out to do Trump and disobey the will of the people in the election from the very morning after the election results and even before it. You're dealing with a fascist state in America. These people who are who are opposing Trump and would not accept the decision of the electorate, which is your position, Ross.
Felix,
your position.
Felix, thank you for your call in there. 952-784-1000. President Trump, despite all the cynics, I have never been more confident of America's future. He's speaking live at the World Economic Forum in Davos. I'm sure there'll be news from that from Stephen Ritson. Just looking to close up any business. Trump seems almost disinterested. He's just reading from an auto cue. Not exactly selling it, is he? I think that's his presidential look then. Right then, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege. You covered an awful lot of topics today on today's Viewpoint. I would like to give my thanks to my guests, Andres Gallardo.
Giles, thank you very much. Thank you to your male and female listeners.
Indeed, indeed. Rosalind, as always, great to have you with us on the show.
Thank you, Giles. I'd just like to say my view of Trump is not irrational. It's based on his behavior. Thank you.
Right then. And with that, I leave you in the capable hands of Stephen Ritson and Europe Today. This show will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.